So in case it goes off, she'll get the blame. It is good to see everyone here this evening. Again, let's be mindful of the many that are sick, dealing with many different issues with their health. We have quite a few folks traveling. So let's keep them in our prayers and what they're going through with everything that's going on. So let's just be mindful of that. Now, this evening's lesson, in several different ways, it's an extension of our lesson from this morning. And I keep saying this, you'll figure this out about me and my preaching. I love to overlap. Repetition. You know, you get that repetition, certain topics, certain passages, before you know it, they're sticking a little bit better than maybe they would have if it's just something we examine or look at periodically. So we're going to see a couple of things in here, passages and some thoughts that we've heard recently. So let's begin, if you would. I want you to open your Bibles. Let's go ahead and start in John chapter 3, but I want you to think about a few things first. And I want you to think about the fact that, you know, are you a servant of Jesus Christ? You know, are you a servant of His or just a big fan, right? And, you know, most of us, we don't mind the Lord making some minor changes in our lives, but the Lord wants to come in and absolutely turn our lives upside down, right? And, you know, fans don't mind a little touch-up work, but Jesus, you know, he wants complete renovation. Right, fans don't mind a little bit of makeup, but the Lord wants to do a complete makeover. Fans, you know, remodel. Because where we lived in Thayer, Missouri, it was a railroad town. A lot of the folks there employed by the railroad, and they would bring coal from Wyoming and up in there, and they would come through Thayer, Missouri, and they would switch out engineers and such, and then our folks would then take it down to Memphis. But you could hear trains all day long, all night, 24/7. You hear this rumble. Oh, here comes another train, and they seem to be louder when they're coming back up when they're empty. You know, you couldn't see them, but you could feel it. Sometimes you couldn't hear them, but you could feel the rumble of a train. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience with a train or something that loud. You know, you don't see it, but you can feel it. And I think that's a good illustration about what we're talking about here this evening. When we think about the impact that we make in the lives of others. You know, have you ever had someone come into your life and they just made an immediate impact, you know, made a rumble? You know, a faithful Christian, they just come in your life and they just make an immediate impact. And that's great, huh? That's needed. That's necessary. That's good. But I think sometimes some of the more important impacts are by those where it's not an immediate impact, if you will, but it's something over time. And something that we learn from individuals. Because, you know, sometimes if we think about, you know, that individual that makes that big impact, I think many times we think, well, you know, I could never make an impact like that, so why even try? Maybe we might get a little bit discouraged. Other times, sometimes the biggest impacts that Christians make on us, it's not immediate, it's not noticeable, but there's an impact nonetheless, and it helps us. So we're going to talk about three main points this evening here. We're going to talk about a flag, a struggle, and a fruit. All right. So let's begin here in John, the third chapter. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 8. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 8, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now hang on to that thought there. You know, it's almost like he could anticipate the question from that statement there in verse 7. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, when I read that, I love to think about a flag. Right? I love our flag, Old Glory. Right? But many times, and we see it everywhere, in front of schools and banks, library. You know, you see it everywhere. But many times we're not really paying attention, right? Most days, if there's no wind, it's just kind of hanging there. We probably don't even notice it. But what happens when a big, strong wind comes through? You know, it unfurls and it kind of pops out. That always makes me, anyways, kind of stop and pause and appreciate, you know, and be thankful. You know, that represents my country. I appreciate that. You know, and that wind just kind of, you know, makes it pop out, and I take notice of it. Where if there was no wind, you know, I might have not paid attention. Now, the thing about it is, you can't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind, right? That's what you're seeing. You're not seeing the wind, you're seeing the results of the wind with that flag out there. Now, in many ways, that's what Jesus is saying here. Right? He's saying that to Nicodemus here, part of the point to him. I know there's a lot in here to unpack, but for the purpose of our lesson here, you know, you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the results of the Holy Spirit, the results of his works. And here, of course, he's speaking to those who made that change. He's going to go on later in the chapter, verse 25 through 27, talk about those who are born from above, right? Those are those who are born of the water and the Spirit here in verse 5. So now, if you're here this evening and you have not made that commitment to the Lord, being born of the water and the Spirit, please consider that, right? Study that. That's the most important thing that you can do. But this lesson here, in many ways, is more directed toward those who have done this. Now, if you haven't done that, don't tune out. Right? This is directed, this lesson here anyways, you know, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So there are some things in this that I think will be very beneficial to us. Because remember, we're looking out, we're talking about making a spiritual impact. All right, next here, here's our struggle. Stay with me on this. Here's our struggle. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Right now, if we say it's not a struggle, I think we're deceiving ourselves. Right? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we need to test ourselves. Galatians chapter 5, part of our scripture reading here. But I want you to back up here in Galatians 5 to verse 16. He begins with a statement. He says, I say then. Right? If we're going to be good students of the Bible, I need to understand context. Galatians, a good way to describe it, it's a book of combat. He's combating false teaching, right? Read chapter 1, 6 through 9. He's dealing with Judaizing Christians, right? He's dealing with those things, and he gets into chapter 3 about being, well, how do you become a seed of Abraham? He's talking to Christians, you know. You got to be clothed with Christ in baptism, all of these things. And then you get into chapter 5 here as he begins. He starts saying, basically, don't let these false teachers steal away the liberty that you have in Christ. So you got all of that going on in here. Right? In other words, don't fall for the things that will pull you away from the faith. Don't fall for it. And that includes lust of the flesh, things of the flesh, which, of course, false doctrine is. So you can say, I say then, walk in the Spirit. So in contrast to that, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not know the things that you wish. Right? This is a struggle we're talking about here. We all have it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, or enmity, your translation might read, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians is a good book of contrast. Good, contrasted with bad, whether it's false doctrine or truth, right? All of these things here. And so he says in verse 22 here, but, so here's a contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is. Now that's something, this list that he gives us here, I think something that we struggle with. We know the fruit of the Spirit is a thing. We know it's from God. We know it's something that we need to have, we need to work on, but what is it? You know, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, in its most basic definition, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's the manifestation of God through His Spirit in our lives, guided by His Word. Right? How am I going to learn about this list that He gives me, the love and the joy and the peace, long-suffering, and so on? Well, I go to the Word of God. It's that undeniable natural product of the branch abiding in the vine. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. And here's another lesson we're going to look at in the near future. With some good overlap in these teachings. Right? If the branch is attached to the vine and that vine is healthy, right, and it's all the nutrients, everything that it needs, sunlight, water, good soil, do you have to beg the branch to produce fruit? No. Rather, it's going to be a natural product from that branch being attached to the vine. This is us living out our lives in the world around us. It's us taking action concerning our faith. Right? James 2 and verse 20, faith without works is dead. Think of it this way about fruit. Right? It's what we get from a tree that's alive, that is producing. Right? If an orange tree is dead, is it going to produce an orange? Well, of course not. If it's alive, if it's healthy, it's going to produce what it produces, fruit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit here? It's Christians that produce something valuable to God and for God for His glory. And really think about that real quick, jumping over to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Think about this right here. You know, this fruit is for God, not for man, because God commands His fruit for Himself. That's the very purpose of creation. Here's a passage we talked about this morning. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? We are the beneficiaries of this fruit, us and others. Right? But this fruit of the Spirit, it's for God, it's of God. The very fact of the matter is, this is about God. This is a result of God in our lives. A natural product. When God is in our lives. If you're still there in Ephesians, I want you to look at chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. We see it emphasized again here. And a lot of this will remind you of what we talked about this morning. For you were once darkness, but now, he's talking to Christians, but now, what are you? You are light in the Lord. So he says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We talked about light and darkness this morning, right? God has always been about creation. He's always been about light. He's always been about showing us the pathway by shining the light on the pathway, showing us where to go. right? We were transferred, conveyed out of the darkness, Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Conveyed, transferred into his marvelous light. Peter would add that word marvelous in 1 Peter chapter 2. And so we learn here that we are to walk in a very particular way to have very particular results. Right? Our walk with the Lord, if you just went through the book of Ephesians, which we're not going to do, it's all about putting on certain things and putting off certain things. Right? And it's a continuous process. We're working on it. You know, we're putting off the lust and the desires of the flesh. Right? The lust of the eyes. We're talking about that maybe 2-3 weeks ago. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, we're working on removing those things from our lives. And this is going to make some wonderful produce for the Lord. And back to this thought here about this struggle that we have, right? So if you think about it, John chapter 3, we've obeyed the gospel. We've been born of the water, born in the Spirit. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was decades ago. We're out there, we're living our lives in a world of darkness. Right, we're tempted daily by those things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, you know. We fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We sin, we struggle. We're trying to walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. The fact of the matter is we're going to make mistakes. We fall short, we mess up. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a willingness, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to test ourselves. To examine ourselves, to see if Jesus Christ is even in us. Because we're good and we're honest. We want truth. And we want the truth to expose the darkness that we still have in us. Now, it's not an excuse. It's a reality. You know, some days we fail. Some days we do better. But I continue to test myself. Listen, it's a struggle, but again, what I need to understand, what I need to remember, it's a maturing process, right? Adam and Eve failed. Abraham failed. Moses failed. David failed. Peter failed. Paul failed. But the one thing that they have in common is they never gave up. They never gave up. And since they didn't give up, they kept learning and maturing in the faith. They were repenting. And God brought them forward. And they produced a lot for the Lord. They never gave up. Right? So look at those fruits of the Spirit again there in Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 22. Just think about this, a little practical application here. In this list that he gave us. All right, love. The word love here, agape love. Sacrificial love. You know, maybe that's what you have failed at. Right? Maybe that's the one thing that, you know, it really gets you. And you got a lot of people out there that know you're Christian. They know you go to church. But they've seen you consistently fail in this area. That sacrificial love. You're not loving your neighbors yourself. You're not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? They've seen you fail. Let's say that's the area that you failed the most. Can you imagine the impact, the rumble that you'll make in their lives if they see you maturing in this area? They know that in the past you failed, maybe even miserably. If they see you trying, they see you growing, they see you moving in the right direction. Can you imagine the impact? Now, they might have known you your whole life. Maybe it's a family member. They've known you for 40, 50, however many years, and they've seen you consistently fail all those years, but you never gave up, and they see you getting better in that area, growing in that area, maturing in that area. Can you imagine the impact? I guarantee that'll be worth more than 1,000 sermons from any preacher. That's you living out Jesus in your life, right? That's you living out the fruits of the Spirit in your life. What a wonderful thought. You know, maybe it's joy that you failed in, right? Maybe that's the number one thing that you failed in your Christian walk, and all the people around you, they know that you claim to be a Christian, but yet you're always unhappy, ungrateful, mumbling, grumbling, complaining. You don't have that Christian joy. Maybe that's where you struggle. Right? Wouldn't it be great? Think of the impact. They know that you struggle in that area, but then they begin to see a change in you. My mind always goes to 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. What a wonderful passage. Maybe you failed in the area of joy and maybe throw in faithfulness there. Peace. Or maybe you struggle with that peace. That peace is talking about that relationship that we have with God, that settling of the soul. And now maybe they see you not losing heart, verse 16, even though your outward man is perishing. You know that your inward man's now being renewed day by day. Yes, they see you maybe going through some physical illness, sickness, disease, or maybe people around you are going through that, but yet they see you developing this joy that's no longer defeated by your circumstances. And they see that you have this mindset now that you understand this is just a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And I've got something much greater, this eternal weight of glory, it's waiting for me. And so now I don't look at things with a physical eyes and see everything physical, make that important in my life. No, I understand that's only temporary. Right? I'm looking with spiritual eyes at the eternal. Right? And if someone sees that change in you, matter of fact, if you go to chapter 5, verse 7, that's how we're to walk, right? Walk by faith, not by sight. Can you imagine the impact, the rumble, if you will, that you can make in the lives of others if they see that change in you, if that's what you've been failing at, or any of those areas? Right? They can see you in these areas growing, right? In these fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, sacrificial love. You've got this devotion to others and joy, this rejoicing, this gladness for your salvation. This peace here, this shalom, this having a good relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, that settling of the Spirit. Long-suffering, you know, you're patient, you're enduring. You put up with stuff. Doesn't throw you off track. Kindness, you know, general attitude. Right? You're not rude, you're not unkind. You're not short with people. Goodness, you're allowing the good things into your life, and you're not allowing the evil and the sin and the bad to come into your life and affect you. Faithfulness, right? They see you worshiping God. You know, not going to church, but worshiping your God in spirit and in truth. You're singing with the Spirit, singing with the understanding. All of these areas of faithfulness, they know you're a student of God's Word. They know that you're a praying person. Self-control, right? You're controlling the things that you allow in your life. So again, just think about the impact. Think about the rumble, like that train. You might not see it, but you can feel it, you can hear it. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. If you struggle in one or more of these areas here, in your Christian walk, then these folks see you working on that, improving in those areas, actively working to fix that. You know, just think about the impact. Think about the glory you give to God. The glory they'll give to God through your good works, through your change. And then how they see you being kind and helpful and selfless and patient and control. And again, you're preaching Jesus with your life. Showing the work of the Spirit in your life, making a rumble, making an impact with the world around you. And something I love to say, you'll hear me say it many more times, past failures do not have to be an indication of future results. Us in our individual walk with the Lord and as a body of believers, a congregation of the Lord's church. Past failures do not have to be an indication of future results. And so we've got to remove that as an excuse, don't allow it to become an anchor, but rather use it as a rudder moving forward. I have one quote here, and then we're going to have our conclusion. And I don't know who wrote this. It just seemed fitting in what we're talking about here. And it reads, quote, "Change is a funny thing. We never are quite sure what we are becoming or even why. Then one day we look at ourselves and wonder who we are and how we got that way. Only one thing about change remains constant. It's always painful. And it might be painful to make that change. You know, I failed in love or peace or long-suffering. You know, I failed in those areas. I see a need to change. I'm honest about that change. And I say, it's not going to be easy. It can be painful. Right? That I think that's part of that refining process, by the way, that we read about in places like 2 Peter chapter 1. So change can be scary. It can be hard. It can be difficult. But when that change is reflecting Jesus in our lives, it's not only necessary, but it's possible. Here's our conclusion. Now, this is a sermon we're going to look at in the future, right? We're doing layers here. So some of this, it's going to be familiar come a week or two or three whenever I finish up this lesson. I want you to see something here in Galatians, the sixth chapter. Paul is going to give us a how-to, right? He's summarizing the book of Galatians. He knows we've been good students. We've been paying attention. We've been talking about these things. He's saying going through the book. Let's do some very practical things here. What's very interesting, these 10 verses here, you can break it down into three categories. Take root, verse 1, grow, and then sow. And so all these 10 things here fall under those three main headings, if you will. Right? Verse 1, take root. We've probably all read it 1,000 times, but he's talking about an attitude of restoration for you, yourself and others, right? Verse 2, from verse 2 to verse 5, is all about growing, right? So I'm going to take root, now I'm going to grow, right? I'm going to help others bear their burdens, verse 2. You know, I'm going to look to help others, and it's going to lift me up also, by the way. Verse 3, be humble. It's going to take a selfless attitude. That's part of growing. Verse 4, be honest with yourself. Take a self-examination test. Are you bearing fruit? Verse 5, accept responsibility, right? He says, for each one shall bear his own load. So there's some personal responsibility here. And then verses 6 through 10 here in Galatians chapter 6 is all about sowing. I'm going to take root, and then I'm going to grow. Now I'm ready to sow, right? And Christianity is all about duplicating who we are for the glory of God, right? And you can look at a lot of things here. Verse 6, basically support the work of the Lord. You know, take some action, help. Get involved, right? Get involved in the work of the church. Verse 7, remember this law of sowing and reaping. It's critical. Actions, not actions, they got consequences. Verse 8, sow to the Spirit. Plant seeds that result in spiritual results. I love our evangelism class Sunday mornings. We're talking about a lot of great things and some great ideas. Verse 8, sow to the Spirit. Verse 9, don't get tired. Don't grow weary in doing good. A lot of people give up. Right? Adam and Eve messed up. Abraham messed up. Moses, David, Peter. They all messed up, but they didn't give up. Right? They did not give up. Verse 10, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. To the church, we're a family, right? We're all in this together. Now, I want to read one more verse to you. Now, you're going to see verses 1 and 2 here in John chapter 15, but I want to read to you verse 8. Again, this is a lesson we're going to look at some point here in the future. We're going to ask an important question when we do get to John chapter 15. We're going to ask and answer that question. You know, where do you abide? Where do you live? It's a wonderful question that's asked in the book of John here. You know, will you allow Jesus to make an impact in your life, and then will you turn around and make an impact in the lives of others, right? Be determined to bear fruit. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. That's our purpose. It's to glorify God in all that we do. That's our purpose. That you, Sean, bear fruit. Bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Need to be determined to bear fruit for the Lord, to make an impact. This evening, if you are subject to the gospel invitation, that is something that's available for you this evening. And maybe think about this since we're right there in John chapter 15, talking about being attached to the vine in that illustration. God is a vine dresser. Jesus is a vine. The disciples are the branches, right? Listen, you can't bear fruit for the Lord if you're not attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. We have to allow ourselves to be cleaned. If you read a little bit further down in that text there, in verse 5 and verse 6 and following, you got to be cleaned, you got to be pruned. Well, the beginning of that cleaning process is putting on Christ in baptism and then allowing him to continuously clean us so that we will produce being attached to the vine. So if you haven't been attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, the obedience to the gospel, please consider that. Let's study that. Let's see what God has to say about that. If you have questions, maybe you've done that and you failed. You failed miserably in everything to do with being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and maybe you went back into a lifestyle of sin and you're ready to come back home. Let us show you the love of God, the love of this church family. Pray for you, pray with you, whatever it is that you need. If you have a spiritual need, please don't give up. Please don't hesitate to respond as we stand, as we sing. There's a fountain of green, 'tis for you.